Yeah,
I fell asleep in my car in a McDonald's parking lot a few weeks ago. And I woke up and there was a fire truck and three cop cars surrounding me. Somebody called and said that they thought that I had like OD'd on something.
Alrighty. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the very first episode of the LP Live podcast. Your place for everything Linkin Park and Linkin Park related. Literally everything. We're going to get into some detail on this. We have our host, me. My name's Dylan, Rogue Soul. And we have my friend Andrew Mariolis. I hope I said that right. Probably should
have asked. That's right. Zero Drew.
And we have some guests today. We got Nick Vitaco, Glass Castles himself.
Howdy.
Mr. Anthony Staten, A-Stat, is here. And finally, we got Ben Newberry, Mr. Ben himself.
What's up? From,
like, we're in different corners of the world right now, ready to discuss some Linkin Park. What's on the agenda today, boys? We got, well, I guess first up, the most pertinent thing, Paper Cuts. Coming out April, I don't even know. April something.
12th. It's my 12th? Birthday, I remember.
Oh, word.
Okay, now is it your birthday or is it like a mark minutes to midnight? It's your birthday.
It's my birthday.
It's like close enough. So yeah, Paper Cuts just got announced not long ago. Got a new single, Friendly Fire. First song.
Already out as well?
Yeah, already out. We'll talk about that a little bit, but let's get into Paper Cuts a little bit. I guess first and foremost, the first thing we've discussed the most, the track list. Some surprising omissions from this, shall we say. We're missing some signature tracks from this.
Like Final Masquerade Acoustic?
Yeah, exactly.
A real roller coaster for me personally.
I think the most surprising...
There is no representation of my favorite album.
Let's pour one out for the hunting party, guys. Like,
I just got it on vinyl. Single... I just bought it just to celebrate in honor of.
Oh God, that wasn't empty.
That wasn't empty. In honor of them not putting it on there, I just bought it on vinyl.
As you should.
We can start with like what's in there actually. Like, it's meant to be like a greatest singles compilation of the band. So there's definitely some songs like everyone knows, pretty much everything everyone knows. Including mostly their top like 18 Spotify most streamed songs.
It's like it's top 16 because they swapped two of them out for Lost and Waiting for the End, right?
They did.
They swapped what Heavy
I think it,
and
Given Up and Heavy are out. I'm still surprised Given Up is out.
I'm surprised Heavy's out.
Yeah, agreed.
I'm surprised they went with. I guess I underestimated the impact of One More Light, like the song. I didn't realize like how certified it was.
That song was huge after they made it a single and everything. It's a bit big audio on TikTok too.
I just saw it on a Instagram reel.
Yeah.
I sent it to the chat. I was like, what the?
That's how you know it's getting popular. It's on reels. It's gonna be on shorts.
Yeah, I guess they made the right choice with that one. Waiting for the End is one that it's one of my favorite songs, so I'm not upset about it being there. And I think it had to be there, to be honest.
I'm not surprised that it's there. I'm surprised that it wasn't in the top 18 anyway. I'm surprised that it had to be forced into the list.
That's agreeable because that is probably one of the most like technically masterful songs in their catalog. That whole album itself, honestly.
And what was the other one? Was Lost the other one that wasn't in the top whatever?
Yeah.
Okay. That just hasn't been out long enough.
I mean, yeah. It's already
Lost does
there.
Make sense being there.
The fact that it was ahead of Waiting for the End after only being out for like a year, less than a year, I think at this point is pretty... I think it's going to hit there eventually, so that's a good addition to it.
It was like the number one like rock song last year, right? Something like that? It was like crazy.
On radio play, if I'm not mistaken.
I still hear it on the radio at least once a day, either going to or from work.
Octane does a Biggins countdown every week, and I'm pretty sure Lost was number one for like multiple weeks.
Yeah.
The thing is, with the... 20 tracks limitation they went with it, they had to be very picky. Everything Minutes to Midnight onwards, they basically put most stuff from Hybrid Theory till Minutes to Midnight, and everything after that's one track from here, one track from there.
Zero.
What do you think about that?
It's interesting that they did that but still didn't include anything from the hunting party, that they were like, we can pick, okay, this is the Thousand Suns pick, this will be, we got a couple Living Things picks in there, but Hunting party, we can, who cares? We can pass on that one.
The two Living Things picks, I think, are Lost in the Echo not being there is kind of surprising, but the Burn It Down and Castle of Glass were both huge. Castle of Glass was surprisingly so. Agreed. But, like, it made those, I think two from Living Things makes sense. Only one from A Thousand Suns is surprising.
I think Castle of Glass got a big boost from being in Medal of Honor.
Yeah. I mean, it's like their, I think it's like their third or fourth most viewed video on YouTube or something like that. It gets crazy how big it's like right next to, I mean, it's not right next to, it's like a billion views below in the end, but it's like right next to it.
I was going to say,
if you go by popular.
That music video really boosted that song like a lot. I noticed that.
The version.
What about that intro? Shadow of the Day didn't make it, did it?
That's the biggest surprise.
Shadow of the Day is like the one song I hear the most out in the wild.
And it charted really high too.
Yeah.
It charted like top 15 or something when it came out.
It did better than Leave Out All the Rest. Leave Out All the Rest is on there.
It also looks like they went by like streaming numbers mostly. Yeah. Like a lot of these songs came out before streaming was really a thing. So it's hard to like say without including those like pre-streaming numbers, like are definitively the most popular.
If we tried to count pre-streaming numbers, it would be just Hybrid Theory and Meteora. That would be the entire track list.
Even like the non-singles.
It would be like they would maybe not include Session and Cure for the Itch, and they would be What I've Done and New Divide instead. But otherwise it would just be those two. It would just be those two albums.
So some people would be like, yeah. This checks out.
Some people would agree
with
that. I think that's the right decision.
Yeah. I mean, it would, but that's why I think it's a greatest singles thing.
Yeah, these songs kind of prevailed through the streaming era.
A nice surprise for me was the inclusion of Number Encore. I didn't expect something from Collision Course, but I'm very happy they did include that one.
I'm surprised they included that and not like A Light That Never Comes.
Well, they don't want to give any credit to Recharged.
But I guess like a large part of this like wasn't necessarily like including every part of their discography. With the Hunting Party, you can kind of say like the heaviness is covered by like some of the earlier songs in a different way, obviously. But like including Waiting for the End, they get like that bit of like weird like pop reggae electronic rock. Lost is like in the vein of their older stuff, but still has like a little poppiness to it.
Well, it's got
all the songs post. Yeah, as you go.
Oh, I was gonna say like yeah, it makes because they the Living Things guy mixed it, so it makes a lot of sense that it's like a kind of a mix of the like it's the true mix of like the Meteora style with the like Living Things attitude of let's take the
like,
that
yeah,
sound
with, like,
and
the present day Linkin Park.
Like what would it sound like in 2012?
I think when you look at like how deep their discography goes, they're kind of in a weird spot where if they made this a double album, it's like they'd have 1.5-ish discs of singles to really be worth putting on there. Like they don't quite have a deep enough discography to really justify making it a double album, but they've got enough stuff that they have to leave some stuff off too.
Yeah.
See, when they said that like they were handpicking the songs, what I expected it to be was like it would be like the obvious singles, and then there would be like 5 or 6, 7 whatever songs that are just like, here are some deep cuts that we really like. Like, here's When They Come For Me. Here's A Place For My Head. Here's No More Sorrow. Mm-hmm. Little Things Give You Away. Stuff like something like that. Just to, like, kind of separate it from other greatest hits albums a little bit.
I think no matter what the track list was, there have to be, like, songs, huge songs that are out.
I know. I'm not saying don't put the big songs. I'm saying that I expected there to be a little, like, I don't want to say a little more consideration, but, like, I expected, like, when I look at that track listing, I think the label could have just done that. The band didn't have to be involved in this at all. But like, if the track list didn't come out and it had been like, oh, here's, I don't know, here's Until It Breaks, here's Powerless, whatever, I'd be like, okay, so the band, you know, was really involved and really had a lot of like thought about what song should be on here.
Brad would have put Lies on there 4 times.
Brad fought for that, I'm sure of it.
I'm pretty sure he was probably like, well, okay, fine, I'll let you do a Hunting Party track if you let me put Lies, Green, Misery
and
on
Phoenix
there.
Was like, no. Like, I'm fine with no Hunting Party. There.
That's why they won't play a show, because he wants to play Lies, Green, Misery only like 22 times.
Mike is like, I'm not putting that in the set. I'm not putting that in my own personal solo set. And Brad's like, I'm not going on tour with you then. I'm sorry.
You're getting like an intro of that max, Brad.
I'll put it as a background part in my solo medley. All right.
MS Rap, Lies, Green, Misery.
Oh my, that'd be the until it's gone, lies you in misery rap intro. That's like Anthony's nightmare.
Oh my god.
Like, this is like one of his two favorite songs back to back.
Brad plays like this new guitar thing, but he turns his back to the whole crowd every time. So it's like, it's not even at least like he likes this, like he'll have to keep listening to that same shitty piece of music over and over again until he can figure it
and
out.
And Mike just does the demo scat
Brad
version.
Refuses. He does it
like
that
more than the actual song.
it's funnier at least.
Anyway, back to Paper Cuts. A little sidetrack there. Yeah. Just a dunk on Lies, Greed, Misery, to be honest.
It's worth it.
Shouldn't we just go to the track 14 whole QWERTY situation yet?
We should talk about that. I was going to say just quickly that, like we were saying about like how involved the band is with this release, it does kind of feel like, to a degree, I can see why they picked certain songs to be like, this is who we are as a band. Like, we weren't one sound. And these kind of songs define that principle for us versus like there's parts where like with the vinyls, like it just doesn't feel very like that part feels like a lot of this feels like it's a big label thing.
I mean, I think it is a big label thing to some extent because you can see the band is not as involved as with the anniversary releases. I just think they still had a strong say in what comes out eventually. They for sure picked the two new tracks of the release, and I think they had a say on what they cut or what they put in the final track list. But like, I think they, Brad had a say indeed.
According to Mike,
I just think they took popularity on streams as a main criteria.
Yeah, that's definitely fair.
My main point is I just wanted more. I wanted it to be longer. I thought there could be more songs on it, and that they left a lot of songs kind of out that should have been in. Like, I don't think anything that they included shouldn't have been included, but I also think that there are songs that I think are surprising for them to not include, and I think there was room to include them.
Yeah, I guess like A-Stat said, I guess it's just a weird situation of like there's enough but not enough at the same time. Without like digging in to like the non-singles, I also kind of feel like there will be another greatest hits at some point, like a part two of this.
I was gonna say they needed to pull a Fall Out Boy and like, and somehow know ahead of time they needed to release the greatest hits in like 2009, with like Hybrid Theory, Meteor, Minutes to Midnight, and then they could do one now with Living Thing, 5,000 Suns, Living Things, Hunting Party One.
That's kind of a lot. What I think about is like how Fall Out Boy handled it. Yeah. Like they distinctly have like two kind of eras of their band,
and I would argue Linkin Park also
picked
does
a good time,
but they just didn't.
Oh yeah,
they just didn't.
They
do
might
that
have a third era coming up. If this whole first half was the first like 2000 to 2017, what they consider like the first half, then hopefully there's a second half coming. Yeah. But that's all. Yeah.
They keep saying so far. I'm just saying.
You know what else we theorized a lot about? Track 14.
Big mystery.
It's probably the most like neutral reaction to a Linkin Park thing I've ever seen, because it's like you can't really be angry at it, but it's also like it's QWERTY. Track 14 is QWERTY, a song from 2006. That
it's
pretty much
been
if
out
you
18 years.
Yeah, it's been out 18
two
years.
Versions.
Two versions.
The
worst
one live
thing
version. That everyone likes. Yeah, they're releasing the worst version. I feel like everyone who's like semi-familiar with this band, like, I don't know, you have to be like two or three degrees of like deep into this band to know QWERTY. Yeah. Like, as far as like non-album songs go, I feel like QWERTY is one of those that like people kind of know.
Yeah.
Maybe less than No Roads Left, but
I thought it was going to be No Roads Left.
The way I depending on when you were into the band, I think QWERTY might be the biggest non-album song, just because when it got played in Japan in 2006, like, it blew up. Like, it was a huge thing.
QWERTY is a dope track. I think fans all love it, and listeners gonna also really, who's gonna discover it now also really gonna enjoy it. I just think the whole track 14 tease was a bit too much for a track that's already out for so long.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, the track is really good and we're all gonna enjoy it.
Yeah, the payoff wasn't worth the build-up and the mystery and everything.
Exactly.
The big payoff is that QWERTY will be on streaming and digital now.
But for, like, for like for me, I have a local file on Spotify. It's been on streaming for 6 years, 7 years. So it's kind of...
In terms of, unless there's something I'm trying... Unless there's something I'm missing, it's probably their most popular song that wasn't already on streaming.
Again, I'm not saying it doesn't make sense to release it. I'm saying that it's like, if you are, like Dylan said, if you're already like into this band and you're already kind of like invested enough to really care about this kind of release, you probably know QWERTY.
I think the big issue isn't so much like the song, it's the expectation they put up by teasing it so hard. If they did this with Friendly Fire, it would have made a lot more sense. In my opinion,
they just, like, they just renounced Friendly Fire.
All we have, all we have of that song is that one clip of Mike talking about it on Twitch and that picture of Brad in front of the songboard. And that's what they used. Versus QWERTY, like, there's pro shots. There's like several, like, they played it multiple times over multiple years.
Even just like a picture of them playing in like Japan 2006, I think would have been fine. Like, if they don't want to announce that it's QWERTY, at least like let the fans know that they know that QWERTY, that it's going to be QWERTY. Don't get their hopes up, that because then it's still a surprise for non-hardcore fans. They'll be like, what the, I don't know what this part is, but everyone else will be like, oh yeah, that's the shirt Chester wore in Osaka 2006. They're gonna release QWERTY.
I know, pick of a song as a dynamic with Friendly Fire, if you want to show like the band over the years, like you put out Friendly Fire with something from their most recent album, an outtake that they always meant to release in some form, and then you put out QWERTY that's a lot heavier, older, but something like a fan favorite, like we've been saying all this time. I think it's a good combination to show like what this compilation is about.
I find it interesting. So, like, they just added Friendly Fire on Octane, which is kind of funny to me because it makes sense because it's Linkin Park, but that is not an Octane song. Like, you know, SiriusXM Octane's all like new hard rock, metal, almost metalcore, in some extents. But like QWERTY, that song will go huge on Octane. So, like, as soon as that comes out, I feel like they're just gonna drop Friendly Fire from there because it doesn't really fit on Octane at all. Like, I think the only reason it's there is because it's Linkin Park.
I often think like radio and any like specific genre kind of thing always doesn't know what to do with Linkin Park. They kind of can't accept the fact that like over the course of like 10 years they completely change sounds multiple times. So they're like, oh yeah, I guess we can still play them on hard rock. But yeah, I agree. Like, Friendly Fire is definitely a better lead single just because it's more accessible. Definitely fits more with people's like pop taste nowadays. But QWERTY, yeah, definitely like for fans, people will be really excited for it.
I mean, the reception I've seen to Friendly Fire outside of the fan base has been really positive and really good. Like, I
really like it.
Yeah, I really like it.
The more I listen to it, the more I like it.
Yeah.
Me too.
I think the video helped a lot of people for me liking it. I didn't love it until the video.
Yeah, it added a nice special emotional touch.
A lot of people have actually, that I've seen, or I saw like a few, you know, reviews of it on YouTube, said that for them it's like actually like a missing piece for One More Light. Like when that song, it's like a good, like they said if this was on the album, it actually would have put it higher on like what they enjoyed. Like they said that it's a good bridge, like it's poppy, but there's like the acoustic guitar element in that song is really
it is kind of like an in-between of like Sorry For Now and Talking to
Myself. I was gonna say it reminds me of Talking to Myself.
It has a
I think most people would like take it over their least favorite OML song.
Oh, 100%. I think
like in general people like it.
That, I mean, that was a short album. It easily could have just been on there, not
true,
in place of something else. I do wonder why they didn't. I guess we don't know what it sounded like in 2017 versus what... Because they did say they went back into the studio a little bit
I think it's probably more like Twix, because Mike has also said it was a finished and mixed song back in the day. So I think they probably just tweaked it a little bit for this release.
Yeah, the fact that they have like footage of Chester recording the song is very interesting to me.
I was super surprised too.
I'm not. Mark Fiore's dad.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's at a certain point, I just assumed that he's probably like they have a camera in the studio 24/7 recording everything. Like it's
Mark has video of everything, and he has like all the old demos too.
I'm convinced that Mike just sends him little beats that he makes just so that he can use them in LPTV stuff.
Hey Mark, here's a 1-to-1 copy of my hard drive.
That's how all the stuff leaked. Is Mark lost the hard drive.
We do have that thread on LP Live from a long time ago that like we listed all the unknowns that they played in LPTVs. I wonder, did we ever go back and like try to?
I think that was a Skippy's project, so the answer is no.
Yeah, we gave up. Skippy, we'll save that story for another day.
Yeah,
because that's a whole
LP episode Live into itself.
Story episode, but yeah, Friendly Fire. I mean, that would have been a good live song too.
Oh yeah,
I think it can be said that like one criticism of it is that like it could kind of be by any other band.
Yeah.
Like it does have, it could, if you told me that was a 30 Seconds to Mars song or like a,
I saw Imagine Dragons thrown around a lot. I saw that name.
Yeah, even Imagine Dragons. I kind of wouldn't, like Imagine Dragons featuring Chester, I wouldn't be surprised.
It's cool to note this is the first song that gets a physical release since Heavy. The first single of OML.
It's funny how much, like they do, how they do care and they don't about this. they're giving Friendly Fire like a nice release, you know what I mean? Like Friendly Fire, they're given a nice like physical release. They're giving it its moment in the sun as a single. Like everyone, the news is talking about it. But at the same time, it's like they haven't even updated parts of their website to be like, hey, this is coming out.
I mean, Already Over is still the first song, and this is Linkin Park. So
that's a command, yeah. Dude, like this is
Already Linkin Over Park. Is a Linkin Park song. It has the DNA in there,
whether or not you like it.
I wonder if Mike or if the band just really wanted to release Friendly Fire and the label's like, you can if we can do a greatest hits. I wonder if that was the trade-off.
Do you think they'll keep doing these 20-year anniversaries all the way up to like what, 2030?
I wonder if I don't think Mike thinks they're gonna make it to One More Light, and that's why he's fine with losing Friendly Fire now.
That being said, I feel like there's a lot more from those album sessions.
Oh yeah, I don't think that they're not gonna get there because of content. I think they're gonna get there because people don't care.
Oh yeah, because they don't want to wait that long.
Yeah, like I honestly, if they had done Living Things 10 in 2022, they could have just done all of them up to 2030 for A Thousand Suns 20, and then been like, there we go, we're good.
I think we're gonna get those box sets until A Thousand Suns.
Oh yeah, first they're at definitely least. Gonna go.
I think,
to
A Thousand Suns they'll definitely cook with. Absolutely. Even Living Things, I feel like they could. Like Burn It Down.
They could cook with all of their albums, I'm sure. I think it's just a matter of do they think that
they're gonna skip
worth
the
it?
Hunting Party?
They just skip it entirely. They were actually repressed the Mall soundtrack on vinyl.
I would get It Goes Through on vinyl.
Minutes to Midnight isn't until a couple of years, so I really hope Mike wants to do a Fort Minor one. That'd be interesting. Yeah.
They did just that would be do cool. The Zoetrope release for the deluxe edition release, didn't they? So it makes me wonder, like, why then and not like next year, like when it's actually gonna be the anniversary.
Maybe he'll release that.
Speaking
first,
of, we also have a vinyl like that for this release, which looks pretty cool. Among like what, 7-8 other versions, this one stands out.
And none of
the one I
to most of us, I think.
And none of the variants are neon green. None of them match the color scheme of the entire project.
That's the thing, I guess. It's not what the amount of vinyls that are there, because I don't care. Like, I see every other band doing it nowadays.
I just won't get them.
You know what I mean? Fine. Like, it doesn't surprise me. Yeah, I'm not going to... There's some people... The people who are going to buy... Well, I was thinking about this the Rolling Stones. They haven't... They have a new album. I don't know if it's an old album or a new album. They have an album they're releasing that has a vinyl variant for every like major league baseball team in the United States.
God, imagine being a and collector. I'm
like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like imagine being the dude who's like, I have to buy like 50 of this vinyl.
I that have to.
For like, I guarantee he does not care about all. He probably cares max about three of those teams. That'd depending on who it is. There's no way he gives a shit about like all 50 of those.
That's crazy.
And like, but he's a Rolling Stones fan. He's like, I'm the collector. I got to do this. Like, it could be worse. You know what I mean? Like, my thing is that there's no green vinyl. That's what I'm
saying.
And why?
That is so weird.
The closest one is that Spotify one that's like puke yellow. It's
yeah.
so.
Yeah, exactly. It's gross.
It's so
I got
weird.
The Zoetrope. I'm actually considering buying the hoodie.
Yeah, the hoodie looks nice, actually.
I haven't really looked at any of the
indeed.
Like any of the actual.
Because I don't, I realized I don't have a Linkin Park hoodie, and I'm a big hoodie guy. I need to.
What do you think of the Minutes to Midnight logo chosen for the artwork?
I think it looks awesome. I think it's a cool choice because I feel like it was their kind of it was a different sort of peak of popularity from Hybrid Theory when they came back with What I've Done. And I think a lot of people, when you tell people Linkin Park, they kind of think of that era
that logo,
of them.
Yeah,
I was gonna say that's probably their most iconic logo.
And I kind of like
all the other album cycle logos are just redesigns of that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
I really like the Hunting Party one with just the LP and those circles.
Yeah, I like it looking like it's kind of like in a dream. Like it reminds me of the Catalyst lyrics, like "Lift me up, let me go."
Shocking.
It kind of looks like,
and yet
they're doing. Yeah, it's not on the. Little, not that they wouldn't draw that connection since it's not on the album, but
yeah, they forgot about
it. I like the vibe of it. I think the green is kind of gross. Interesting choice.
There's one thing that annoys me about the artwork. So if you look at the top of the artwork, I know it's supposed to be lens flare, but that one little like green dot that looks like it's coming off the border,
oh,
it looks
no.
like somebody was just drawing a square around it and like missed.
Like, there we go. I'm like, okay, be careful. Oh shit!
Somebody. Now slipped in MS Paint.
I'm looking at you, Frank Maddox, whatever your name is.
Something about the art for this reminds me of like Goosebumps. I don't know what it is. Like, I think it might be the color scheme. I think it might be like the reflection thing.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Something reminds me of Goosebumps, and it's made me like it a lot more. Just like associating.
I like the artwork.
What's
it's
the name of the little green guy from Ghostbusters?
The green guy from Ghostbusters. Oh, okay. Ghostbusters. I was still thinking Goosebumps. I was like, what green guy are you talking about?
No, this is showing my age here, but I'm just thinking of like the old the green Ghostbusters Slimer High C flavor that they don't make anymore.
God, oh my God. This one's vile.
That's the color. I'm so
Nick has Ben
bought the headphones
from
the merch.
That was too much, man.
That's what I'm saying. It just so happens my headset matches the artwork.
Man, he's been prepared for this. They actually gave Ben advance notice. Is that why you changed your color to
make
green?
Sure you got your headphones on.
Is that why you changed your lights to green?
That's why, yeah, I did that.
Oh.
I was like, I got to be in the green setting.
Hey, I got to be in the green setting.
Exactly. Now we're better than, what, the Catalyst, apparently. We're in green. Let's see, what else have we written?
By the way, something cool that came along with this was in the end, Diamond certification.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I also wonder how close Numb is, because they usually go toe-to-toe.
There's probably going to be, in the next, like, 5-10 years, there's going to be a couple of those. What's up after, like, obviously Numb's going to hit there.
And What I've Done, probably.
What I've Done.
What I've, yeah, I was
going to What I've Done. New Divide's probably close-ish.
I'd make a case for Burn It Down. I feel like that one's enough of a pop rock song.
See, What I've Done came back, like, there was a TikTok trend not too long ago where everybody was using the, like, end of Transformers, like,
if Michael
thing.
Bay directed X, whatever.
Directed by Michael
Bay. Yeah, exactly.
Even, dudes, I had a crazy, I was at work, and I was just playing Lying From You on the speaker just to get by the day.
Yeah.
And this girl I work with, she came up to me, she was like, wait, I know this song. And she pulls out TikTok
audio.
And she's playing a sped up version of Lying For Me. I was like, oh my God. What? I'm glad these songs find new ways to be relevant.
I mean, they're always going to be memes. AMVs and now TikTok audio, you know, just whatever people are doing.
Yeah, exactly.
See, what and it's honestly wild to see, like, they're continuing to get, like, new fans. Yeah. Like, it seems like they wouldn't, like, not that they wouldn't, but just them being around so long, and yet because of like TikTok and stuff and people using them, it's wild to see, like, you have new people coming in and being like, whoa.
Yeah, they're almost like self-sustaining at this point. Like, they're not active anymore, exactly. Really, but like they're like their music is so big that like it propels itself into like new people's feeds and new people's like algorithms or whatever.
Yeah,
like exactly,
like, enough people are using in they're the always end like that, like someone will hear it.
In the End is a song that'll like never disappear.
It's like they're a part of pop culture. I think at least those two songs, like, it's very hard to find someone who hasn't heard of them, like never heard the song.
Yeah, I remember I used to say all the time back in back when 30 Seconds to Mars was touring with them, I had to make this argument a lot that Linkin Park is less popular than In the End and Numb are. Though, like, the band itself, its name does not carry the same weight that their songs do. Like, they exist beyond them almost.
The other big pop culture one that always gets references, Remember the Name, weirdly enough.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
It's a major sports song.
Like Reddit thread all the time.
Remember the Name is used in like sports anthems all the time, or like pep rallies. Yeah. Like, I was in high school and that when they were using Remember the Name in pep rallies, and I was like, oh, that's cool. And then people were like, who is this? I know this song, but who is it? I'm like, oh, that one guy from Linkin Park. Oh, okay.
Yeah. My friend who played basketball played it before every game. Like, that was his pump up song.
And back when that React, y'all remember the Teens React? Mm-hmm. If you go that Mike did a while back, I mean, that shows that, because like when In the End came on, a lot of people would be like, oh, I know this song.
So. Well, there is like one quote that has stuck with me from an interview I did for LP Live a couple years ago, the one with TJ DeMonte. He said like Linkin Park is the last like huge rock band, because who's bigger than them since them?
Now it's all pop stars. And like
that's it. That has stuck with me, because actually, who is?
I guess you could make like Pearl Jam, like Foo Fighters. Yeah, but like,
Dragons is really big with a lot of younger people.
Imagine Dragons, yeah.
I was gonna say like Coldplay, but are we counting them as a rock band still, or
Coldplay counts?
I don't really think people even think of Imagine Dragons so much as a band, even though they are.
They are just kind of an artist in my mind. I don't think of them as a rock band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even in terms of just the idea of a band now. Like, Linkin Park's one of the last couple of those that really stood the test of time.
Well, I mean, even 30 Seconds to Mars, I mean, like, is that a band now? I mean, it is, but
They used to be.
Yeah, but not like Linkin Park. I don't think you can find a band that's came from like nu metal, especially that has been able to stay like relevant.
Oh, you say that. You say that, but Deftones is massive right now.
I never think of Deftones as the new metal band, even though they totally are a new metal band.
Yeah. I think they are.
Like, I just
at least it's the same shit as Linkin Park. Yeah. I think that like they've moved out of it.
I associate them most with like
Deftones is like immense on TikTok. They have like they're about to hit 11 million listeners on Spotify.
There's very few bands that like transition or go across multiple like people's fan bases.
Yeah.
You have a popular band in the scene, like, I don't know, Korn or Papa Roach or whatever, but they're not going to be known at all to people that listen to Hits One Radio, really. Like,
there are a lot of bands that rock radio now that you can definitely hear the Linkin Park influence coming in, like Bad Omens, and, I mean, say what you will about Ronnie Radke, but Falling in Reverse.
I feel like most rock music that's popular now wouldn't exist without Linkin Park, is what I think a lot.
Motionless in White.
Yeah.
It's a big one.
I wasn't even going back like a couple years. Like, Bring Me the Horizon very clearly had their shift in sound.
Even
is totally
still Bring Me the Horizon.
Oh, I know. I'm saying once they started going from deathcore to like their new sound, like that's totally Linkin Park inspired.
They wouldn't have had the balls to do that if Linkin Park did.
Mm-mm.
Linkin Park set the precedent for like how you can evolve as an artist and still be good, I think.
Oh, it's just fine to mix rock with whatever genre you want, as long as you do it well.
Yeah. And even so many rappers nowadays even do, like rock and metal songs. Like, people's, like, tastes have finally, like, kind of bridged. They've always kind of defined that space of being genreless, like, bouncing from thing to thing. And I think, pop music is finally kind of catching up to that.
Yep.
Which is also why I think, like, a lot of their music still hits on the radio, because everyone can be like, oh shit, they're doing this too now. And people who haven't heard them before are coming around in this new era of pop music too.
And it's like with each album, like if you come across something, like if you come across Guilty All the Same and you're a pop guy, you're like, I don't care about this, I don't like it. Next album, it's heavy. Oh, I this song is totally up my alley. So it's like every album is almost like a second chance for them to like introduce themselves to a new listener.
There's something for everyone in this band.
It's like the band would say, is like they strive to be a different band with every album. They want to reinvent themselves every album. I mean, from ashes to new. And I see a lot of people, or a lot of like ads on TikTok, like From Ashes to New does this. It'll literally be like, are you a fan of Linkin Park and so and so, then check out our band.
I get it. They do sound like what Hybrid Theory or Matera would sound like if it was produced today. I think they are like the closest.
Oh yeah, From Ashes to New for sure.
And they're pretty good.
Yeah, they are. No, I like them. They literally are to me like new age, like Hybrid Theory. There's a band called Danger Kids that literally shouted them out in their song.
Bro, I miss Danger Kids.
Don't bring Danger Kids to me. It's a sore spot. I miss them so much. Their last album was so good, and they disappeared.
It was.
They disappeared off the face. They posted something kind of recently.
They were like the one guy was Twitch streaming for a while.
Mm-hmm. That was a band. That was a band with potential, man.
That they
Light Escapes.
They were like the new Linkin Park.
They literally were.
They were the ones who did it like just right. And like that was like Living Things era.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, these guys know what they're doing.
Is your favorite Linkin Park song in the compilation?
Yes. Castle of Glass and One More Light both made the cut, so I'm good.
2 out of 3 for me.
I have such a hard time picking a favorite anything. But yeah, like most of the ones that I would have up there are there.
My top three are Leave Out All the Rest, Sorry for Now, and Waiting for the End.
One of mine are Waiting for the End. Sad about From the Inside, but it's fine.
Yeah. I didn't expect it to be on there, but Burning in the Skies is one of my favorites.
That's like that's number three for me. That's like right there.
Mine's
I also agree with Mike that Keys to the Kingdom is one of their most underrated songs.
That shit kind of it comes on every so often on my shuffle. I'm like, wow, forgot how like crazy the end of this.
The last third of that song is insane. It's so good. It's worth listening to the first like 2/3 just to get to the bridge and the outro.
That would have gone so crazy live.
Chester would have destroyed his voice. Are you kidding me? That tour would have lasted like 2 days.
I see. Like if they did it like as like one of the first songs in the set, I think he could have come out hitting with that.
Just open the show with it. Just him screaming a cappella, nothing else.
That's what I'm saying. Like, just forget about giving up. You don't have to do that one later. Give it a make the next song a Mike Shinoda song.
Yeah, Chester just walked. It's Keys to the Kingdom, Mike solo medley, Joe solo medley. Burn It Down instrumental, Robot Boy instrumental. Just give him like a 20-minute break after the song.
Chester started coughing up blood halfway through Keys of the Kingdom, so they had to cut the set short.
They brought it into rehearsal, and Chester was like, no. Absolutely not. You can keep Runaway. You can keep Runaway in the set. I'm not doing Keys of the Kingdom.
Yeah, that's a crazy compromise, actually, if you think about it.
That's how how Mike knew he was serious.
He's like, wow, we can't do this to him.
And Brad's like, what about Always Green Misery, guys?
Brad's there in the corner like, dun, 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 dun.
He just always has it ready to go.
With his headphones on, not listening to anything. Around. Did Brad ever fuck up the intro to Lies, Greed, Misery? Probably not.
No, he loved that song so much.
That's like the singular, like most proud he's ever been of anything he's
that done, and when he's just on the keyboard and waiting for the end, just hitting that one key, he's just fucking loving it.
On Waiting for the End, when Brad was up on the keyboards and Sean would come out with his guitar and be standing there waiting for him, and you'd see like the ever-growing amount of stress on Sean's face that he wasn't gonna make it down there in time. There were a couple of shows where he cut it real close on grabbing his guitar.
What songs would you have put on it that didn't make the cut? Assume we had like 3 more songs on this.
Catalyst for sure would be on there.
From the Inside, I think definitely.
From the Inside deserved a spot.
It's weird because like I guess there's enough Meteora that they can get away with like not including one of them.
See, I would have cut Somewhere I Belong for From the Inside, like pretty easily.
Lost in the Echo too. I feel like should have been on there. Iridescent actually, that's a big one.
Oh, Iridescent.
Yeah. That was one I'd
probably go with Iridescent, Given Up, and Lost in the Echo. Even though I'd like to include something from The Hunting Party just for the sake of it.
Yeah, notice none of us said Hunting Party.
Final Masquerade should be the obvious one.
Final Masquerade is it should have been there.
When it comes
Final
to
Masquerade
the
or
Hunting
Guilty
Part,
all
I feel
the
like...
same. Either one.
Actually, I mean, Either Rebellion one. Has a good case for it. Not in terms of charting, in just terms of like discography, I feel like. I feel like Guilty all the same, they kind of fumbled, I feel like, back in the day. Yeah. Like, it could have been a...
Oh, you didn't think the Project Spark music video was proper for that song?
That was one of the worst. That was, like, that was terrible.
I also think Wastelands could be more than a promo single.
Wastelands, yeah. Wastelands. Because that was the song they chose as, like, their set list pick from the album.
Mm.
Going, like, at least on One More Light.
It's the song on that record that sounds the most like an old Linkin Park song.
I agree. That's why I was always like surprised why it isn't bigger, because it always reminded me of the first two albums, like the closest.
It also had, didn't it have a like a, I don't know if it was Medal of Honor, like just.
It was IAVA, it was some military thing.
Yeah, I feel like that, it got a little bit of, like a push from that too.
And then like throwing the CDs out into the crowd.
that was awesome, Rio. I was just thinking about that.
I would say Giving Up too, because that, like, a lot of people views that bridge as one of the most iconic things ever.
There's definitely a bunch of stuff that, like, makes sense that it wasn't there, like, the good goodbye. Even Powerless. I don't even know if Powerless. That was, like, a Japanese single.
It was a Japanese single.
No. I would have gone with either Shadow of the Day because it was a big single, or Given Up. I don't think I'd put both of them on there.
I'd put Shadow of the Day just because, like, Given Up. Shadow of the Day, I hear out in places. Like, I'll just be, like, walking around. I'll be like, oh, shit, that's... The crazy part is my mall that I work at has Shadow of the Day in, like, just the general playlist. But, like, it has the transition to what I've done, too.
Which version of Shadow of the Day is it? Which version is it?
I actually have to check. I have to double check.
I literally hear Shadow of the Day in Walmart.
Oh,
that's what I'm saying.
I heard it every time I went to Walmart for like a good 2 or 3 years in like the mid 2010s. It was bizarre. That said, I would still probably put Given Up on it over Shadow of the Day. I would say Given Up over Shadow of the Day just because I think that there's representation for their kind of softer side already on there. I don't think there's as much for something as heavy as Given Up besides like QWERTY and One Step Closer, stuff like that. But like, Given Up's a different kind of heavy.
You can't really tell if they want, like, what they wanted to go for more here. Like, obviously, like, they chose the top 16 singles, but also, like, they...
Can we take a second to acknowledge Mike just throwing Brad under the bus?
Yes!
But yeah, any problems
Brad
with this,
certain
it's
songs
just Brad
I voted for more songs.
We got a lot to talk about on this podcast. I think we've been talking for, like, an hour now. Any final thoughts on... Friendly Fire Paper Cuts? What's everyone, what did everyone, if anyone bought merch or a bundle, what did you guys get?
I bought the Hunting Party vinyl, completely unrelated.
I wanted to buy like the Mike's art thing, the what's it called, the limited edition one that he just put out,
whatever they call those.
Oh, me too. If you go on Amazon right now, it's like $140 if you want to get it for like half off almost.
You hear that? We got you covered on the LP Live podcast. Yeah, exactly.
What LP Live discount code?
Yeah, use code GlassCastles at checkout.
Don't actually do that. It won't work, I swear.
Can we get an Amazon affiliate for the Meteora 20 bundle?
I got the Meteora 20 like hoodie thing they did as for the Zoomies, like the Brooklyn Projects. It was very overpriced, but it was sick.
I got the Zoetrope vinyl.
Yeah, I was going to say, I got that too.
That's cool.
I'm considering buying the white hoodie, like I said before. Just I like how the logo is on it. It's better than just their usual, here's the album cover square on a black hoodie.
Honestly, I didn't look at the merch. I thought that's what it was. So if they actually improve that, then that's good. Good to hear.
It has like the, you know, like the on the album cover, it has the whole like ad that's like singles collection. Yeah. QWERTY. It has that on the back instead of like the weird green logo. Okay.
Oh, there's also the cassette one.
That's actually green. The right color.
Yeah.
The only green
on brand green.
Only the cassette and the Friendly Fire CD single.
Yeah,
that's true. I actually did consider. I kind of, if it was a vinyl, I think I would have bought it, the Friendly Fire thing.
Give me a vinyl with just Friendly Fire and QWERTY on it.
That would be a crazy single. Friendly Fire A side,
QWERTY B side.
Oh, QWERTY being on the release, do you think it actually will end up being a single? Because it's supposed to be greatest singles. Maybe. And it's one that's not yet.
They have a whole month until it comes out yet. I'd be surprised if they didn't like put it out as some kind of promo thing, at least leading up to it.
I expect Friendly Fire to be kind of the main song from this, but like it might get like a Fighting Myself type treatment where it gets like a little push on radio and stuff.
I feel like singles from a greatest hits is kind of unusual. So I don't know.
Do you think we have any chance that this is the live version in the studio form?
Absolutely not.
Sadly,
a lot of people like coping that, like, oh, they said they went back and worked on Friendly Fire a little bit. Maybe they'll fix QWERTY. Like, bro,
I hope
they announced it. Their announcement of it was Joe Han took a picture of his keyboard. I don't think they care about.
That's going to be the single cover. It's just that picture of Johan's keyboard.
That would be so fun. any other final thoughts we got, guys?
So y'all were talking about earlier about like if they would revisit and do more like 20th anniversary. The big if, but if like they were to continue, I would definitely say no. And after A Thousand Suns, because if they start putting out new music again, people aren't really gonna, after A Thousand Suns at least, they aren't really gonna like care enough, I don't think, to like buy like a box set of Living Things or something for like $200. I just wanted to make that. I don't know.
I mean, here we are 7 years later, still buying box sets after they haven't really done anything.
Well, that's true.
Who knows what happens in 20 years? We'll still be around. We got at least five suckers on their list.
Living Things at least has Burn It Down and Castle of Glass to kind of prop it up. So that might push.
Yeah,
people.
I think the Hunting Party. That's when they might cut it.
Hunting Party. They see. Yeah, and then they, like, then they still do One More Light though.
Guess who's gonna vote again?
Just skip Hunting Party.
One More Light is like their golden child. I feel like. That's like the kid they're most proud of.
And what? They should be.
But we'll get that. We should get that to that in another episode. So thank you for joining us on this little discussion we've had. The very first pilot episode of the LP Live podcast. My name's Ben Dillon, Rogue Soul. We got Sirio Drew. We got Glass Castles. We got A-Stat. We got Ben. It's been a pleasure being here with you all. If you have any topics you'd like to hear us discuss on other episodes, let us know in the comments of whatever you've decided to put this on. Thanks for being here, gentlemen. Thanks for the convo. Hopefully,
thank you.
We'll have another one of these soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you.